Hello and welcome to PharmD Unscripted, where we inspire you, educate you, and guide you to write the prescription for your life. I am Dr. Bree.
And I am Dr. Laquita J.
We are your hosts of this lovely podcast. So without further ado, let's get unscripted. What's going on, PharmD Unscripted listeners? We have a special guest on the show joining us today. She is not a pharmacist, but she is an unscripted nurse practitioner. And she is Felicia Mack. Felicia Mack is a master coach, nurse practitioner, and the CEO of the Mack Institute, an umbrella of brands that includes the Mack Institute Healthcare Services, the Millionaire Girls Organization, the executive arm, a virtual assistant firm, and Mack Maids, soon to be Dr. Mack, as she is finishing her PhD from Hampton University. Felicia Mack is an astute leader in the drug safety and pharmacovigilance community and has recently led discussions at DIA and is an international speaker as well as a consultant. She is a certified business and master life coach, dominating in content marketing and content creation. She is a best-selling author of Live Your Best Life Now, which is available at Barnes & Noble. She is also known as the Queen of Content for helping men and women stand in their truth and monetize their message. So please give a warm welcome to our special guest today, Felicia Mack.
Wow, thank you for that warm introduction.
Not a problem. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We are honored to have you, and you are just amazing, girl, out here killing it.
Like, okay, girl, okay.
I'm trying to be like y'all. I'm trying to keep up with the both of you.
I'm trying to get on your level, Miss International Speaker.
Yes.
Yes. Well, hello, Felicia. Welcome to PharmD Unscripted Podcast. You have such a diverse background, and like, I'm really excited for you to be on our show, and I'm even more excited for you to share your story. So could you just start, like, where did the journey begin? I know it was nursing school, but anything before nursing?
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting because growing up, I did not grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth at all. So just taking it way back, I am just born and raised in Sumter, South Carolina, small town girl. My mother worked in a sewing factory, and my dad did construction, still to this day actually does construction, and grew up with an older brother. I grew up in a neighborhood where a lot of kids like me didn't do much, right? You know, They either became a part of the system, you know, didn't go to college. I was the first person in my family to go to college. And everyone really around me was not doing the things that I aspired to do. And so I knew that for me, I wanted to do something different. And I always loved science, you know, since I could remember. But for me, I wanted, or I thought I wanted at the time, to be a dentist. I always, and I feel like a lot of times, you know, individuals, they want to do maybe a doctor or whatever, but you don't really necessarily hear a lot of people. But I knew from a very young age, I was like, I want to be a dentist. And so, but that just wasn't, you know, the plan for me. And so I had a lot of great individuals actually in the church at a young age that spoke life into me.
Yes.
And that was really my saving grace. And so every Sunday, my mother, I was on the choir and did, you know, all of that. And so my mother was very astute about making sure that, you know, myself and my brother, that we were in church. And so from Sunday school on up, I had just a lot of great, you know, men and women of God that really spoke life into me. And I really attribute that and just really the grace of God that really put me in the path of where I am now, believe it or not. And so So that is why I am a vessel, I believe, that I like to give back in more in all the ways that I can just in my life, because someone spoke that into my life at a very young age.
Yes. And that is so important, because I think that it was like that for me as well. And people underestimate the power of their words and their impact. Because a lot of times, you know, somebody may not even know that they caused that much of an impact on your life to push you on this journey and this path where you are out here killing it, okay? So that is just so amazing. And I'm so grateful that you are using your gifts to help other people, because that is what we're put on this earth to do.
It is.
Yes. So tell us a little bit more about how you got into nursing and how that transition from nursing into the pharmacy industry kind of was for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And so again, kind of going back to having just, I believe that, you know, every person that we come in contact with is truly divine. And so people that you meet, regardless if it's, I don't care if it's at the grocery store or if it's through, you know, networking events or whatever, but I really believe that all of these different touch points in our lives is for a reason, but we just have to stop and just be present in the moment to understand those connections. And now with social media and with everything just, you know, being wrapped up in our lives, I feel like sometimes we can really miss those connections and we can miss those key components of relationships. And for me, I think I always got that, especially during my transition early on from my college into like undergrad. That was a big deal for me, kind of leaving and transitioning, you know, from young adulthood. And so as I made that transition, there were a couple of key individuals in my life. So I had a full scholarship undergrad, and I was in a leadership institute. And there was a lady there. It was kind of a love-hate relationship, I feel like, between us. But she played a integral part. And so I study abroad program through that. And one of the things that she said, again, I was planning on going to, you know, medical school for dentistry. And one of the things that she said to me, she said, "Hey, have you ever actually thought about maybe going into the Army?" And I was like, "Army?" I was like 90 pounds soaking wet, you know? And I was like, "The Army?" I was like, "Don't they go out in the woods?" And I'm like, "Oh no, I'm trying to be cute. You know, I'm not trying to do all that. You know, do you see this hair, right?
Yes.
Do you see this hair?" Like, no, you know? And so she started talking to me about all of the possibilities and about the scholarships and, you know, all of that, right? Mm-hmm. So somewhere along the way, I don't even know how this happened, guys, but she talked me into signing up for Army ROTC. Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now that lasted all of 3 seconds. But in those 3 seconds, I met a brigadier general in that program that introduced me to nursing and kind of connected me into that program. And so I ended up, long story short, switching my major and falling in love with nursing, literally the art and the science of nursing. And that's kind of how I made that switch. And how I got introduced into pharma, again, was relationships and was just kind of networking. And it was through recruiters, you know, as Savage. I love recruiters, by the way. I mean, that's how I make a lot of my coin. If they're listening to this, shout out to recruiters. They work really hard. Amazing, amazing individuals.
Yes.
But, right? We love recruiters.
We do.
I was actually introduced after leaving Virginia. I was introduced by a recruiter saying, "Hey, have you ever thought about, you know, maybe entering into drug safety?" I was like, "Drug who? Drug what? What is that?" And that is how I became introduced. And for me, drug safety really is taking nursing kind of 360, because it's like really looking, you know, at the data and kind of getting on the other side of patient care. Is why I really, you know, love drug safety and pharmacovigilance. Just, yeah, so that's a short version.
Okay, so did you ever work like in a hospital or this was, okay. Now, how was that experience as opposed to working in pharma industry? What did you love more, or what were the pros and cons of kind of like both of those worlds?
You know, I think that because a lot of people, they ask me, well, do I need nursing experience before I go into the industry? And I think that's a hard question to answer, but I always circle back and say, I think it's needed. And I was a nurse for over 4 years before I entered into the industry. I was a ICU nurse and I worked in my love, which is cardiology. And I also did hospice, which is a whole nother beast. Mm-hmm. I think it gives you a different perspective and it is just great experience, you know, at the base level. And there's nothing like bedside care. I mean, even if you decide to go on and be a NP or, you know, do research or, you know, focus more so on the clinician side of DNP, there's nothing like, you know, that bedside care and that for RN. And even when I was in nursing school, one of the greatest decisions that I made that one of my professors, I'm just so grateful for her, through her advice, is I was a CNA, mm-hmm. which is not a glamorous job. Shout out to all the CNAs, right? Because you get to respect all positions throughout the continuum of care, you know, and, you know, the basics of nursing. And I got to, you know, be that RN that went in the rooms and really helped the CNAs and respected their position and, you know, to turn patients and do all of that. And I really got a broader perspective of truly what nursing and what patient care really meant and to have a greater level of compassion, you know, with my patients. And I think that's truly what it's about. And so I think that if you, you know, definitely spend all that time in nursing school when you got the fundamentals and you got the theory and all of that, it is definitely a plus regardless of what you're going to do to step in and to definitely get that patient care, especially, you know, now and what we're dealing with a nursing shortage and even at a family care basics of the shortage that we're having. I mean, we need more nurses, so it's important.
Okay, so can you tell us a little bit more about your role in the pharma industry as a pharmacovigilant nurse practitioner?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So I have worked for a lot of large pharmas, you know, Merck, Bayer, Pfizer. I work for a lot of large pharmas and I've worked in doing everything from the kind of drug safety side. And if you are not very familiar with all of these terminologies, that is basically where, you know, you have a product and you're monitoring the safety and of that product. You know, so if someone takes a product and there is an adverse event or something that happens, whether it's like, oh, I took this product and I got, you know, hives, and then they reported that is on the back end, the information that I would see and then process to the FDA. So that is what we call drug safety, right? At a high level. And so I would process those reports from kind of, you know, start to end. And so I've done everything from that to then looking at that same type of information, but then looking at it at a larger, broader perspective, meaning now you're taking that bit of information, but you're looking at it for thousands and thousands and thousands of cases for a specific product and then products across a therapeutic area. So for example, you may be looking at that for like one, you know, chemo drug, you know, to look at trends and things of that nature. So I've also done that. And so now going back to your initial question, that makes your healthcare background even more important and your patient care background even more important because you have that background of saying, okay, I know exactly what someone would present with, you know, and because I worked with those types of patients and things of that nature. So it actually makes patient care experience even that more critically important in these types of roles, even though, you know, theory, of course, is always important as well. And so worked in those realms of things as well. And then also in more operations and in like global safety management as well for biotechnology companies within that realm. And so I'm passionate about, I work for a medical device as well. So I'm passionate about medical devices as well as pharma, which of course is like more on the drug side of things as well. I enjoy both for different reasons.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what advice do you have for someone who is looking to get into pharma industry and they may be coming from retail pharmacy or hospital pharmacy or just a pharmacist, what are some things that may stand out in the hiring process or skills that you can obtain to make you more competitive for positions like that?
Yeah. So I think that pharmacists are just so incredibly important when it comes to safety as a whole, because obviously there's no one that understands like pharmacokinetics better than a pharmacist, right? That's what you guys do. It's so interesting because when I was in nursing school, like our program was directly connected to the pharmacy school. And I had a lot of friends that were pharmacists, and oh my goodness, I'm like, the way you guys studied, honey, oh my gosh, okay. It's a whole different world, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, but definitely I would say it's all about how you position yourself and you position your experience. And now I think in the pharmacy world, there's a great need as well for patient safety or a pharmacy safety, I believe, advocates they call it, within the hospital realm, which is almost the equivalent of the drug safety within the pharma realm. So that is also something that if you're interested in, that I think is kind of like a dual kind of synonym, you know, cross the board role, if you will, within the pharma industry, that would also be within the hospital realm that I've seen a lot of people posting for. And they're specifically looking for PharmDs for those type of roles. But I would say definitely it's really about how you position yourself and your resume. And then it's all about networking. And I would say one of the best places to start is with recruiters, because they have those direct relationships and they can definitely kind of position you really well with their connections, you know, within the industry to kind of get your feet in the door. But I think that your background, you know, definitely will speak for itself. And then it doesn't hurt to get certifications as well. There's a lot of, depending on what realm you're interested in, but there's a lot of certifications online that you can take that will also be very comparable with your background. That'll give you a foot in the door.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that advice.
Yes, thank you. And speaking of, you say certification, I saw that you had the Six Sigma black belt. And
oh, I also gosh.
See, I think I was actually looking into that because I think that's something that will set you apart from people. Because most people think in our world, they think, oh, I need this diabetes certification or this stroke, any kind of medical related certification, anything that APHA is offering or whomever. But it's like, if you really want something that makes you stand out, Six Sigma black belt, even anything in Six Sigma, because I know they have like the yellow and green belts as well. Any of that PMP, because, well, I work for the government now, and it's really all about project management.
It is. So,
I really like that. That's a really good tip. So you are a woman of many titles. And so where did this bug of entrepreneurship come from?
I come from a line of entrepreneurs. Like my grandmother, before I was born, was an entrepreneur and owned one of the only stores in the area that I grew up in. And then my father owned a business as well. So I come from a line of entrepreneurs. Like you have to have multiple streams of income.
This day and age.
Yeah. Yes. You know, you really do. I mean, just look at what we're dealing with now, right? I mean, you really do. And I think that one of the things that I wish in corporate America that was more welcoming is being embraced with that. Because I think that sometimes it can be a little intimidating depending on the structure and depending on how you do, you know, you move with it, right? And so, but I think that it should empower and it should be something that is encouraged because it is necessary. And when done right, it can definitely encourage and inspire others. And so that's what I, you know, really, that's what my aim is. And through the Mac Institute Healthcare Services, that's really what my focus is. And, you know, I've found that a lot of individuals struggle with certification, for example, for their NCLEX, like passing their NCLEX, which is a board that you have to pass for registered nursing. And there's a very grave need for nurses, right? There's a shortage, obviously.
Right.
And so one of the things that I'm really focusing on now is making sure that I kind of, you know, lean back and pull others up and help individuals to really get certified and be able to pass their NCLEX and develop programs to help them do that as a part of my business as well. So I'm really excited about that.
That is awesome.
I mean, if I'm just like, okay, I kind of see why we're being connected. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm going to have to talk to you offline. I see why we're connected. So yeah. I'll talk about it offline. But yes, but thank you so much. And could you tell us about the MAC Institute?
Yes. So the MAC Institute is like, oh, my baby. So the MAC Institute is the brand of the brand, right? It is the overarching brand that gave birth to everything. And it's started from a scribble on a napkin about 7 years ago that I have, over the course of 7 years now, built up to multiple six-figure business and just been blessed to not only provide opportunities for others and had, you know, multiple, you know, events and just had been able to collaborate and connect with a lot of individuals. But it's something that now I'm in a great position to be able to fuse with my professional world, which hence is why we're here. I've never done, everything has been very separate. So I've never done like interviews with kind of mixing my business and my professional. Everything has been very separate. So when you look at my social media is separate. Everything has been very, very separate. Kind of going back to kind of my point before, whereas I think corporate needs to embrace the fact that, you know, entrepreneurs and individuals that are very, you know, successful in the corporate arena. And so that is what I'm doing now is kind of mirroring and marrying a little bit of the two, although they're very separate. They don't compete in any way, shape or form. But I think that it is important to do that because definitely there's a lot of nurses. There's a lot of individuals that can glean, you know, from it. And that's why I've decided to kind of do that for this year. But the MAC Institute is really the overarching brand that houses everything else. Of course, my last name is MAC, but I've kind of coined that, you know, MAC is an acronym. And it's really all about, you know, mentoring through achievement, coaching, and applied knowledge. And that's how I built everything underneath it, you know, and everything is very strategic and very important to me for a very strategic and specific reason.
Okay, so can you explain some of, because you have quite a few businesses under the MAC Institute. So mm-hmm. Can you just name a few and what you offer, what they are?
Yes. So it's very, very simple. So so my organization, the Millionaire Girls Organization, is really an organization for women, and it's all about women empowerment, and it's to empower women to not be afraid to dominate in business and to be able to bring their ideas to life, regardless if they're in corporate America or if they are just starting a side hustle. And so the executive arm was born out of the MAC Institute because a lot of my clients were working, you know, whether it's working in corporate America or working 9-to-5. And so I would assist them, whether it was through the Millionaire Girls Organization to empower them to start their business or to kind of build upon their idea. But they didn't have the time, right? It's like after they do the family thing and they do all of that, they didn't have the time to really invest, you know, at the level that they needed to grow and build their business. And so the executive arm is for arm is an acronym for administrative resources management. So we're extra set of arms in your business, and we really do the work that you don't have time to do. And so it's all about executive resources and allowing you to get the administrative support that you need in your business. And all of this is on the MACInstitute.com. And MAC Maids is very similar. MAC Maids is more so family ran, and that is a cleaning company that is based in Atlanta, and we do residential and commercial cleaning, and we also do concierge services. Wow. So same thing, busy entrepreneurs, bored out of the, right? Mm-hmm. Don't have the time because you're doing what? You're doing your business, you're doing your corporate, and you don't have time to do all the other things. So MAC Maids. And of course, you guys know about the MAC Institute healthcare services, where we focus mainly on two things. So one is within the drug safety and pharmacovigilance space, and that is where I focus more so on my speaking as well as consulting, and consulting more so in the realm of individuals who are looking to build a career within drug safety. So for example, what we were talking about, pharmacists who want to transition into the pharma space, but they may not know how. So I do a lot of career coaching. Resumes is probably one of the biggest things I do on LinkedIn. Resume coaching, keyword searches. And then one of the newest and greatest things that I'm probably the most proudest of is the fact that we now offer classes on demand for individuals who are in the NCLEX and as well as advanced practice nurses. So nurse practitioners who want to prepare for their exams. We do on-demand courses, meaning that you can take it from your laptop. And then we also do live courses that we have. Literally, we have them in Atlanta, in DC, and then we will also begin having them in other areas very soon once all of this stuff calms down.
Exactly. Corona is having her time, okay?
Yes, she is. She's messing everything up. So for right now, mostly on demand and online. And then I also offer one-on-one coaching and kind of tutoring sessions for LPNs, RNs, and for advanced practice as well. So if you have issues with passing your exams, then you have that resource on my website as well.
Awesome. That is so very cool. Thanks for telling our listeners a little bit more about your businesses and everything. Very interesting. I want to talk about social media for a second because entrepreneurship right now to me is getting a pretty big push in social media, and a lot of people are understanding or realizing the need for multiple streams of income. So one of the things that I notice and that may be kind of hard for people is easy to post on your personal social media, but sometimes when you're creating a business, how do you really like grow your audience? What are some of your tips that you would like to share with our listeners about social media presence and the importance of it?
Yeah, so social media for me is literally how I built my business. And I think that it is critically important, but more importantly, how to utilize it, especially in today's age. So when I was doing the Mac Institute, my business grew very, very quickly in 6 months. So much so that it outgrew me and I was like overwhelmed. Like, oh my God, what am I gonna do? This is too much. Crazy. So, but today you couldn't necessarily do what I did like in 6 years ago with Facebook. I primarily use Facebook because the algorithms and everything changed. And so now you really got to pay to play, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that now it's almost where, you know, you really have to, video is king. You know, video is critically important. And I think in particular, I think LinkedIn is probably almost number one with video right now as it stands. But I think that you have to be consistent and you do have to understand and leverage ads. And you have to be very savvy on how you are leveraging evergreen content and creating your sales funnel. And I think that a lot of times individuals don't really take time to understand that. So they're kind of just putting things here and there and they don't have a strategy in what they're doing. So I would say get a strategy. Really don't just arbitrarily like put things out, but get a strategy and make sure that you're leveraging that and that you are truly building an audience. Because if any of these platforms went away, where would you get your clients from if you're not building your email list, you know, and you aren't investing in systems? There's no way that I would be able to run and do all of this stuff and work and do everything if I didn't have systems, because my systems and the power of automation is how I do everything that I do.
Great advice. So thank you so much for that. You are coming out with an ebook.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your ebook.
So excited. So my ebook, my birthday is 3/29.
Hey, is that Aries season?
Aries.
Hey, okay. Yes. I'm 4/20. I'm a Taurus, but okay. You know, I still got that little Aries in me, yes. Honey.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Gotta do that. So excited because I am so passionate about diversity and inclusion.
Yes.
I could talk about that for hours. So very passionate about that. And that is exactly what the ebook is about. It's about D&I, right? So diversity and inclusion, and particularly debunking myths about minorities and participation in clinical trials. Because that is a big deal. It's a big deal, right? We have to make sure that everyone, the powers to be, that everyone understands that we need all of these drugs and amazing products that they're creating. Minorities, we want them too. We want access. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's a lot of just interesting things that I have read, and that a lot of conversations that are being had that we definitely don't have a voice in, and that there's a lot of, you know, misrepresentation of our thought processes and our perspectives. And I think that there needs to be some conversations. And so I have interviewed over 100 people, actually, and gotten a lot of perspectives. And that is definitely what you're going to get in this book. And it's amazing. So yeah, so it will be out, putting the finishing touches, copyright and everything on it now. And it'll be ready for 329 release.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's so absolutely amazing, because when you think about it too, I always kind of wonder how many people of color are included in these trials. And when medications and things get to market, it's like, how can you have the data that is safe or that is effective when it works in different communities of people if they're not included in trials? So, you know, or not well represented. That's going to be really interesting. So we're definitely going to have to check that out.
Yes.
I guess my question would be, though, I kind of understand the hesitation given the historical background of African-American in the country with the Henrietta Lacks, the Tuskegee men. Mm-hmm. So it's like, given all that, our history, and even I said just John Hopkins, like that entire ordeal, I guess my question is, how do you overcome, or what steps do you take to address that barrier in order to have the inclusion and diversity given our historical history, and I would say to make African Americans more comfortable to participate in clinical trials?
That's a great question.
Yeah. And see, what's happening is, to that point, a lot of times people are using that very reference point not to include us, right? And so we're not giving the opportunity to say, if I have this rare form of cancer and this is the only treatment option that I have, right? But I'm not even having the opportunity to, you know what I mean? I'm not even being educated that this is available. And so that really is the conversation. And so the other part is exactly what you're saying. It's like, where is the education and within that community? You know, where is the resources, you know, within that community, within those the research institutions, you know, et cetera. And that is the question. Like, this is 2020, you know, and how can we bridge those gaps and move beyond those types of conversations or start from there, you know, and push it forward. And I think that I feel like it's like we're stuck there. It's like, okay, well, minorities are feeling this way. Well, let's just really see how they are feeling right now. You know, let's really see, because, you know, if an individual has the opportunity to truly have that conversation at their level, meeting them where they are, and if communities truly are engaged at that level and that trust is built, you know, let's really see what those conversations will be. And if you continue to utilize the same sites and continue to do what you've been doing, you're going to continue to get the same individuals. And so that is really not inclusion.
This is such an interesting conversation. So I definitely could see how we could talk about this, because it is. It's a very big problem.
It's deep.
And it is. And I love that you're diving into this. So we're definitely going to check that out. And we're going to encourage our listeners to check out Diversity and Inclusion, your ebook that will be released on March 29th.
Awesome. Thank you.
So now it's time for our jewel of the day, which is an inspirational quote, advice, or some food for thought for our listeners. Could you share a jewel with our listeners?
Absolutely. So actually, this is something that I really live my life by, and I think it's really taken me, I'll say, all of my 20 years of young life to get to this point to really embody this. But I'll leave you guys with this, and that is, the quality of your life is directly related to the authenticity of the dreams you choose to follow.
Girl, you better come on. Come. You better come. You better speak this word. Okay, break it down for our listeners. Okay.
Right. And so, you know, what that, the way that that resonates with me, and just every single day, guys, I try to remind myself, and that is to do what you love and to stand in what you truly believe and to follow your heart. You know, sometimes I feel like, you know, we are often being pulled in so many different directions. We all have, you know, different things that we have to do, mm-hmm. you know. We have the things that we love to do, and we have, you know, our core responsibilities. But somewhere in the middle, try to always find, you know, where those things meet. Because in that middle and in that sweet spot, that's where your peace is. And that's where that sweet spot of, you know, your harmony, and where everything just starts to flow and to make sense. And that is where you will find the greatest sense of balance and the greatest sense where everything just is easy, you know, where you don't have to try so hard, where everything flows and you feel like you're showing up as the best and the greatest sense of self. And for me, that's happiness, that's peace, that's contentment. And that is where I'm able to be in my greatest sense of vibration and to be able to show up, you know, in that place at my greatest sense of being able to serve. And so that's what I want for everyone listening today. Yes.
Yes, and you can only achieve that by really discovering your truest self, your most authentic self, yeah. your realest self, and you have to just stop being what everybody else wants you to be, who they think that you should be, and really be and embrace who you truly are. And that's not going to make sense to everybody.
Yeah.
So I love that. Thank you so much, Felicia, for joining us today. It's truly been a great honor to talk to you, to be inspired by you. And I hope that our listeners will be inspired as well. I think they will.
Yes. Thank you, guys. It was a pleasure.
Yes.
Oh, yes, thank you. So where can our listeners connect with you?
Yeah, definitely at themacinstitute.com, and then all of my social media as well at the Mac Institute. I would love to connect with you guys. And if you are on the site and you want to connect further, I do have a complimentary 15-minute session that you can schedule. If you go to our scheduling center, you can just click on 15-minute session and you can put my calendar. We'd love to talk with you guys.
Sounds great. Well, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. That is the end of our show. Just remember that you write your own prescription to your life. Don't forget that sharing is caring, so tell a colleague or a friend to come join in on all of this fun. Follow us on our social media pages of Facebook and Instagram at FarmD Unscripted so you can interact with us, leave feedback, share your stories, and all that goodness that social media has to offer. Well, until next time, we will see you later.